Welcome to Let's Talk. I'd like to acknowledge the traditional owners across the country where the program's broadcast, particularly the local traditional owners, the Jagera, Yagera, Turrbal and Yugrupul peoples, the Yugambeh, Mananjali, Kombamiri, Noongar, Quandamooka peoples. I'd also like to acknowledge elders, elders of the First Peoples of the land, and elders of the recent arrivals. Welcome to each and every one of you, and welcome to all our listeners tuned in across the country by the National Indigenous Radio Service, and across the world by the World Wide Web. Welcome to you. Well, still looking like there's going to be some rain around, but it's only teasing us. There's still nothing but plenty of wind. We can only keep our hopes up. My guest today, I'm talking about an album that was a project working with incarcerated people for the anniversary of the death of John Pat. 30 years since John Pat, a young 16-year-old First Nations man, died at the hands of police. And this album is called Muru. And I've got, it features Bill Chambers and Lucky Oceans, Harry Hookie, a First Nations man, and I believe a number of inmates of one of the correctional centres. And I've got the project officer, Deb Mayers is actually online with Bill Chambers. Deb, how are you?
Good. Tiger, how are you?
I'm well, I'm well. And let's welcome Bill. G'day, Bill, how are you?
Hey, mate, how are you? I'm here.
You're still with us. You're on the road.
Hi, Deb.
You're on the road between Lismore and Tenterfield. You're on tour with Tracy.
Yeah, so service is not great out here.
Well, mate, if you drop out, well, we'll just have to keep on going anyway.
I just want to say how proud I was to be part of this project. It's such an amazing thing. I've never done anything like it before, and it's life-changing.
Yeah, well, that's good, mate. That is good because, by gee, that song, if I ever get out of here, it's just great.
Yeah.
You feature on, it's just fantastic, you know. And this Harry Hookie seems to be a great little singer as well.
Great. Yeah, no, Harry was a huge part of it, and he was great, and Lucky Oceans, of course, and the inmates in the Roeburn jail. The last day we were there, there was a young fella banging on a keyboard, and he had this reggae beat going. Sounds a bit like a Bob Marley type song, and before long, we were just singing. I was looking around at the faces of these prisoners, and we started singing, "If I Ever Get Out of Here," and I'm thinking what they're thinking. Trying to put myself in their shoes, you know.
Yeah, right.
And before long, they were all singing, and then we passed a piece of paper around, and everyone wrote down a line. So it was quite a moving experience.
That's fantastic, man. Deb, can you tell us how did the project come to be, this recording?
It's part of a bigger project that's been we've been running with the community in Roeburn since about mid-2010, and during the consultation phase of the project we were talking about sort of what kind of arts workshops the community was interested in doing, and there was music and dance and filmmaking and a few different things, and quite a few people in the community said lots of our family end up in the prison and everyone forgets about them, and is it possible for you to do some workshops with, you know, in the prison? And I said absolutely, and organised for a few artists to come up. And we started running workshops, music-based workshops in the prison towards the end of 2010, and it was just so popular and such a wonderful experience, both for the artists, the musos, and the people in prison, that we've just kept it running. And then in early 2012, we were really honoured to meet Mavis Pat and her sisters and her daughter Maisie, and we were actually at that point researching a theatre show, which is another part of the project, and were interested in finding out whether they wanted John's story to be a part of the theatre show, and they really did. They could see that it would be a wonderful way of having his story told. And through the conversation with the Pat family, they spoke about John's love of music, and they were telling us about a few of his favourite songs. And I just kind of put two and two together. I thought, well, we could combine the music workshops in the prison with working towards a tribute album for the 30th anniversary of John's death. So that's when I started contacting singers and songwriters and musicians around Australia to see who could come on board and be a part of the project.
That's well done. Bill, how did you hear of it or get to be a part of it, an invitation, a phone call out of the blue?
Quite simply, I just got a call from Deb, and she told me about it and just wondered if I'd be interested, and of course I was. I just thought it sounded like a great cause and a great new experience for me, and it turned out to be all that and more.
All right. What a new experience being in jail.
Yeah, true.
Being able to leave, eh?
I hadn't been inside a jail before, but just the stories these fellas told, and hearing a bit of their experiences, and they're just ordinary guys like you and me, really.
Yeah.
But just had some bad luck in life.
Yeah.
And it was just something else. I can't quite describe it, but an experience I'll never forget, and I'd love to do something like that again, you know.
Good. We might have to work on something from out of 98.9 then.
Absolutely.
See what we can do. So this music, it just sounds fantastic. It's where did it get recorded and how?
It was recorded all over the place. Some of it was done in jail. Some of it was done at a little radio station there in Roebourne in the back room. A very makeshift, but David Hyams was the producer, and he put all his recording gear up, and we just sat around like we were in the lounge room and recorded some of it. I wasn't there for the whole lot of it, but I certainly was a part of it and very proud to be.
All right. What's the story with Harry Hookey? I can't get a hold of him, but what's his story? He's a young First Nations man. You've had some association with him for a while?
Yeah, him and I have been touring together a little bit. Harry's just he's a great guy. He's a fun guy to be with. But he's the living image of some of my favourite folk singers from the 60s. I grew up on Bob Dylan, Donovan, as well as a lot of the country music at the time. And Harry just is like,
We look like we're losing you there, Bill. Starting to fade a bit. Yeah. Well, thank you very much, Bill Chambers. He's on tour with Casey Chambers, and he's on the road down there, heading towards Tenerfield at the moment. So, but I still have Deb Mayers, the project manager. Deb, the project itself. What organisation runs this project?
It's an organisation called Big Art or Big Heart, a social change and arts organisation that's been working for 21 years with different communities throughout Australia. We run sort of long-term arts projects with various communities, and the projects usually run for 3 to 5 years. And the essence of Big Art's work is basically taking the hidden stories from communities around Australia, stories that aren't in the, you know, in the media, that aren't in the public discourse, and through either making films or theatre or music, giving those stories a voice and those people a voice, and making sure that people learn of the issues that these communities are facing.
All right. Now it's... I've been mispronouncing your surname. It's Myers, not Mayers.
Yes, it is Myers. It's like the store, but with an S.
Yes, all right. Sorry about that, Deb Myers.
That's okay.
Now, is this the first time you've done this sort of project with music and inmates and people like that?
The Big Arts work has...
It was, the end product of this, just the album alone. Is it called Muru or Maru?
You pronounced it right first time, Muru.
Muru, right, yeah.
Yep.
Any plans for something similar along these lines again with the success of this one?
We're not sure about another recording, but we'd certainly love to look at... We did a fantastic launch of the album in Fremantle a few weeks ago, and it was just such a... It was incredible. He flew in from... Dallas. He'd been in the States for almost a month, I think, and sort of made his travel plans so that he was able to get back for it. And Emma Donovan was there, and Lucky and David Himes, and a couple of the inmates that actually had been a part of the workshops when they were inside but have since been released. And they were able to be a part of it as well. And it was this really wonderful, beautifully collaborative, full-hearted kind of gig. And we really want to do more of it. So whether there's another recording or not, I'm not sure, but there definitely will be some kind of a concert series based around this album. So hopefully we'll get to tour it. And
that'd be nice.
Bring these wonderful musicians together again.
Yes, no, it's certainly got some great tracks on it. It's fantastic. And Bill's back with us, actually. Bill,
yep,
you were telling us about Harry Hookey.
Oh, yeah. Harry's touring Queensland right now, actually.
He's touring Queensland right now. Who with?
Yeah, he's up. I think he's north of Brisbane somewhere.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Under his own name or with somebody else?
Yeah, Harry Hookey, I think he's doing some shows with Busby Maru too.
Right, yeah. They were in the studio just yesterday morning with Jamie Dunn on the Recce Show. Yeah.
Good guys.
Busby were, yep. Busby Maru. All right. Well, we're going to have to keep an eye out for this young fella. And, I'll keep chasing him up on the phone and try and get to him. What was the some of the other inmates? There was some talent with the other inmates, Bill. Yeah, no, it's a little bit too risky being on the road, Bill. But, Deb, I'll ask you, some of those inmates are quite talented.
Yeah, they are. I mean, some of them, I think, have, when they've got out, they've actually kept playing and writing songs and are playing some gigs around in the communities where they're from. I think it's the third track on the album, Nura Kalpa, by Tyron Colley. He's been really active with his music since his release, and that sort of came about from being involved in the workshops inside. And another couple of guys as well, they could be, you know, full-blown recording artists if they were out. And one guy in particular has got this absolutely heartbreaking, beautiful voice, and he's a wonderful songwriter as well. And it would be great to do some more work with him and maybe even and release an album for him or something.
All right. Much difficulty in getting past the authorities? I mean, getting them on side and getting access to inmates, getting inside the correctional centre?
It takes a little bit of work getting, you know, past the bureaucracy. And but the team at the superintendent and the team at the education section of the Roebourne Regional Prison have been hugely supportive, and they've had a couple of wonderful directors of the education section of the prison who have been able to kind of, you know, get other people within corrective services on board, and now the whole department sort of knows about the project, and they're really happy with its success, and so we've got quite a bit of support, which is wonderful.
Well, it's certainly come together nicely, good timing and everything, because the state government, Western Australian government, actually apologised to the family for the death of the young fella, who was known as Muru, I understand, as a young man.
So, yeah, by his family, that's what they called him,
yeah. And how the family feel about the album?
They really love it. They really, really love it. And they loved the launch, the concert that we did down in Fremantle, and they're just really glad that, you know, John's story is still out there and may make a difference to policy and to making sure that this doesn't happen again to someone else's son.
Yes, most certainly, it's happened on too many occasions since this happened to the young fella. It's happened on too many occasions. But, it's this sort of awareness and celebration, I suppose, that can bring that awareness around to mainstream Australians.
Mm. Yeah, well, that was our hope for it, that while we're also sort of trying to raise some money to build a memorial for him in Roebourne, which is something that his mother said quite early on when in our conversations, was there is a memorial for him at the old Fremantle prison, and they hold a memorial service every year on the anniversary of his passing, and Mavis is getting to the age now where it's getting harder for her to travel, and she's like, I don't want to have to go all the way to Fremantle. It'd be wonderful to have a memorial for him here in his hometown. So that's what we're working towards with the album sales, and then also just the awareness raising as people sort of listen to the music, hopefully, and like the music, hopefully they then learn the story behind it as well.
Yeah. How can people get hold of the album then to boost sales and get people buying it?
It's on a digital version. It's on iTunes. Just put in Moodle in the search and it will come up. It's also available through JB Hi-Fi. And it will soon be on our website and also Bill's website for online sales. And I think Sanity stores in regional areas, Sanity and Leading Edge, will have some copies soon too.
All right. Well, look, you've done a great job. It's fantastic. The music is great. We'll play, if I ever get out of here, how Bill was talking about that song coming together. How it did come together. It was a great story how that song came together.
Yeah, fantastic.
That's phenomenal, yeah. And it just goes to show the depth of talent and the wealth of talent that is in First Nations communities, be it our people incarcerated or be it people outside. There is a wealth of talent there. And look, Deb, thanks for your time, eh? It's just great to be able to tell the story of Muru. And, well, good luck with all future projects. And looking at that memorial in Roeburn, good luck with that. That's definitely needed.
Yeah, thank you. We hope we are able to raise the funds required and to make it happen. So thanks a lot for that, and thanks for your support.
No worries. We'll keep playing this, the music on these. More than one track too. There's a number of tracks on there that are just great tracks. Thank you very much, Deb. Have a good day.
Okay, thanks, Tygo. You too. Bye.
Bye now. Deb Myers is the project officer or project manager of the project Muru, MURRU. Is the name of that album. And Muru was the nickname used by young John Pat's mother, Mavis Pat, and an immediate family when John was a boy. Other community members used the name Murawaru, which both of these names referred to the unique feather-shaped birthmark on his back. He is remembered by all as a happy-go-lucky, hard-working young man that also liked to party. He loved horse riding, motorbikes, music, and his family, and is greatly missed by the whole community. That's written on the inside of the cover of the album. There's some words from his mum, Mavis Pat. She says, and I quote, "My son has never left me. I remember him every day. There forever remains a hole in my heart. I had hoped much would change with the Royal Commission into Aboriginal Deaths in Custody, but sadly, it appears little has changed." And, of course, you can't help but remember the story yesterday of that young fella on staff here, young Leon, his ordeal with very brutal police, four of them, two females, two males, a week ago tonight, here in Brisbane at Kelvin Grove, on the streets just outside his home. He wasn't even out in a pub or a club or anything. He was at home and ended up beaten severely, black eyes, eye gouging. You hear him say yesterday, one copper had his fingers in both eyes trying to gouge his eyes. His eyes are bloodshot to hell. A week later, tasered three or four times, pepper sprayed more than once. While handcuffed, he was pepper sprayed. Like Mavis Pat says there, it appears little has changed. And Leon says that he thought he was finished. He thought that was the end of his days. It's too scary. People have to stand up. People who can write, can email. Like the young lady that emailed me to say it was, wasn't very nice words calling those coppers pigs. I'm hoping she felt the pain and was sensitive enough to feel for this man's experience, this man's traumatic experience, and wrote similarly or wrote to the police commissioner and police minister. And that's what I would encourage you people to do. Write a letter. It was great hearing the support, the phone call that called in. But put something in writing. Put some pressure on the system. While we all sit back and be silent, we're condoning this sort of atrocity. We're condoning that. So speak up. Make a phone call. But better still, put it in writing. Send it off to the Premier of this state. Send it to the Minister for Police. Send it to the Police Commissioner. And I've got on the phone now joining us is Harry Hookey. We've been able to track Harry down. Harry, welcome to the program. How are you?
I'm very well, thanks, mate. Just up in the Gold Coast at the moment. Just played a show last night.
Just down the road. All right.
Yeah, not too far.
Okay. Tell us your mob, your country.
Well, I'm living in Melbourne now, so I believe it's the Wurundjeri people down that way.
Where are you from? Where's your country?
Well, I'm originally from Gippsland, but sort of moved to Melbourne for music and that sort of thing.
All right.
So out Eastern Victoria, yeah.
All right. And yeah, you're on tour at the moment.
Yeah, with Buzzman Roo.
Yeah.
We're doing a bit of a national run of shows for their latest album, the Farewell Fitzroy album.
All right.
And we're having a great time. They're great boys to hang out with.
They certainly are. They were in the studios here yesterday morning on the Brekkie show here. Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah, it would have been good to see you come along. But anyway, we've got you today on the phone, so that's that'll do us for now. Where next with your tour? Where are you performing next? Where's your next show?
We're actually headed up your way to Brisbane tonight for a gig at the Hi-Fi Bar.
At the Hi-Fi Bar?
Yeah.
Right.
In the Valley, I think. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that should be good. I've never played there before, and I haven't actually played Brisbane that much, so I'm looking forward to getting back. We've got the full band on the road, which should be cool. And I'll play with my brother, Jack, and we've got a mate of mine, Ben, playing bass, and Nash Chambers is joining us on drums.
All right.
Yeah.
Oh, very good. So how long have you been involved in music?
I've been playing kind of as a hobby. I've been playing for about since I was 16. I'm 24 now, and I kind of was at high school and just got really into Bob Dylan and all that sort of scene, the 60s, 70s folk rock kind of world, and learning all those songs. And then I started a course at university and was kind of getting a bit disillusioned with it and started busking and stuff again and started writing my own songs. And then from then, sort of, I was able to make it a bit of a professional thing and head out on the road and create a bit of a following, and I've just recorded my very first album.
You have?
So I'm excited. Yeah.
Very good.
With Nash Chambers at his studio up there on the Central Coast. And I'm really excited about it. It was a really, really great experience.
And all original material?
All original material, yeah. I pretty much do mainly original material now, which is a cool thing because when I started, I was too afraid to sort of put pen to paper and never thought anything would be any good. But yeah, I'm starting to get into the flow of writing and really enjoying the process. But I'm trying to do, yeah, mainly original stuff now.
So I take it it's Goodbye University and Hello Rock and Roll?
Well, don't tell my parents, but yeah, that's sort of the way it goes.
Right, yeah. All right. So the album, has it been released or just recorded and still being worked on?
Just recorded, and we're sort of sitting on it until February. We're going to launch at the start of next year, but we've released an EP just a couple of Fridays ago, which is sort of like a taste of the album.
Yep, yep.
With a couple of tracks off it, and yeah.
All right.
So we're taking it on the road with us with the Busby Boys, and yeah, just seeing how people like it.
Oh, good, good.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm not sure whether our programmer here has a copy of that EP, but if he hasn't, we'd better see that we get a copy while you're in town.
Absolutely. I can drop one off today for you, if you like.
That'd be great. By G, yeah.
No worries. No worries, mate.
That would be good. Now, the project, the Muru album.
Yeah.
What was that like for you?
That was totally incredible, beyond any words I have to describe it. I went up there with a good friend of mine, Bill Chambers. And
we were just talking a bit earlier. He's on the road between Lismore and Tenerfield, and he kept dropping in and out. So, but we were able to catch a couple of minutes each time, and he was certainly speaking in glowing terms of yourself and stuff. Yeah. So you were there with Bill.
Yeah, well, we flew up together, and to be honest, I was sort of like a latecomer to the project. I only found out about it about a month before, but and I think Bill hooked me up with it, and I didn't quite know what to expect. I mean, I'd never done anything quite like it in my life before, and I'd never even been to that area, the Pilbara, or anything. And
okay.
So I had pretty much no idea of what it would be like, but once we got there, people were so welcoming and so willing to work and collaborate, and it was just a really good bunch of people with the same goal and working together. It was sort of really inspiring experience, and I'm including the prisoners in that. They were all really just interested and very just fascinated by the whole process.
Fantastic, eh? Bill was telling us the story of if I ever get out of here, how that come to be. That's an interesting story.
Yeah, it was just so organic, you know. This kid was in there just playing on the keyboard, doing the four chord sort of reggae thing, and reggae is not exactly Bill and my sort of cup of tea usually. But you know, we did our best Bob Marley impersonation, and Bill came up with the chorus, and then all the boys sat around and just basically wrote a list of things that they're looking forward to doing when they get out.
Yeah,
they get out, and sort of. It was so real, you know, like when I write songs, it's sort of like a bit of fiction and a bit of fact, and it's all that, you know, it's all about the song, really. It's not really about the truth of it, but with that process, it was all about the truth, and every line of that is a true line, and that's something that, I mean, it's pretty special for a song, I reckon.
Oh, it's a special song, all right, and by gee, it comes up well. One of the lines in there, you know, I think one of the lads said to be able to take a piss without the wardens or the screws watching him and stuff. Looking forward to something like that is just, you know, it really hits you. It really hits you. Yeah, yeah.
And that was the thing up there too. Like, you know, we were working with some people who would be out of there in 6 months and some people who wouldn't be out there for 20 years kind of thing. It's kind of, and you never knew anyone's backstory specifically, but you just thought, some of these guys, that reality is so far away, and I can't even imagine what that must feel like.
Exactly. Yeah. Brother, is there a lot of our mob in there, First Nations people in the jails? Because we hear Western Australia has such a high proportion of First Nations people incarcerated.
Yeah, mate. It was. I was surprised by the rates. It seems like it seemed like a high percentage.
A lot of black faces there, eh?
Yeah. They all, you know, I kind of went in there with the mentality that you just forget you're in a prison sort of thing, and people are people, and you just take them for how they are. And they were all, you know, really friendly and overwhelmingly nice to me. And they wanted me to play some songs for them. They'd sit around and listen, and they were just really gracious.
All right. Yeah. Tell us about the song I'm going to play, Wanted Out, that you sing.
Well, that one actually is a song that's completely written by a guy, Ernie, who had just actually gotten out, I think, when we got up there.
Okay.
And he got out and he sort of had been inspired by the whole Big Heart project in prison and kept writing. And he wrote that song and said, asked me if I'd... you know, sing it for him.
Asked you to sing it, yeah.
Yeah, and we did it all live in the one room. We've got Bill playing mandolin and Lucky Ocean's playing lap steel. And, it was just cool. We did it in about two takes. And
wow.
It's just exactly how you hear it on the record, exactly how it was. And,
yeah.
I mean, it's a great song too. You know, I was privileged to be able to sing on it.
Oh, good one. Well, listen, Harry, it's great to talk to you, mate. Thanks a lot for calling in or for taking the call and giving us your time. And I would like to see you today, drop over with the EP, because I like your style, I like your music, and we'd like to be able to help support you, mate, and play your music. So if you drop that over here.
I appreciate it, mate. I'll definitely drop it in.
Good on you, man. And good luck with your touring and your work with the Chambers family. They're a great family. We've known them for a long, long time since they were the Dead Ringer band.
Yeah, they're absolute champions, and they've been so good to me.
They've been friends of ours.
I wouldn't be here talking to you without them.
Yeah, that's fantastic, mate. Now, they've been friends of ours for a long, long time at the station here, so good luck with that, and we'll catch you later in the day, eh?
Thanks, mate.
Righto, buddy. See you now. Bye.
Thanks, Tiger. Bye.